Hi, I'm Steve Todd, and you're listening to Musicians FAQ, a radio program focused on learning more about the musicians that are entertaining you around Waterloo Region. We're featuring your favorite local singer, guitar player, or drummer, learning how they got started, influences, funny stories about past gigs, and upcoming performances. You'll also hear some great recordings of their work. In addition, we'll be learning about others in the music industry that are helping to maintain a vibrant music scene. This is Musicians FAQ. Hey, thanks a lot for listening in to Musicians FAQ. It's Steve Todd. This is part two of our show with the Becks. The first part that we learned about their roots in Atlantic Canada and Craig's dad, George, and his band and his acrobatic skills, and then eventually moving to Northern Ontario and ending up in Kitchener-Waterloo. So we heard a lot of George's music and then some music from Craig and Charlene. Right now we're going to focus more on the kids, which is Jake and Maxine. They both are songwriters. We're also going to hear some live music from The Ridge in Roseville and also from Craig and Charlene's house. So this program starts off with Craig talking about his friend John Longpre and how they got involved with being in a Pearl Jam cover band. So let's catch up with the Becks.
He basically spearheaded the whole thing. We used to call him the band mom because he kind of looked after everything. Okay. Yeah, he was really, really looked after everything.
Yeah.
And anyway, so he got his buddy named Terry D'Souza, who was the singer for the Pearl Jam band that we were in, and another guitar player named Rob, and a bass player named Phil at the time. And so we got those five together. We got those 10 songs down. And then that's all the material we had because there was only 10 songs on that, that original album, and that's all we had.
On 10.
So we were just like, okay, well, what are we going to do? Are we going to hire a band to open for us, or what's going to happen? So then we thought it would cost too much. We'd never make any money. So we basically put together a mixed alternative band of ourselves that opened for ourselves to do the Pearl Jam with.
Yep.
So we would come in on our show and do a mixed alternative thing with all the whole alternative thing. And then people would heckle us and go, hey, I thought this was a Pearl Jam band. And then Terry would go, it's okay, it's coming later. We're going to come out after the second set and we're going to be Pearl Jam. Don't worry about it. So then that's how we had to do our show. But it worked really well, actually, because it gave us a break from having to play nothing but Pearl Jam all night because you could play other stuff, which was good. Though I would say if you had to play just one group and stick with one group, they were a very good group to play because they were so diverse. Like if you listen to Pearl Jam's stuff, they're right from almost country all the way through to heavy metal and thrashy and everything in between. So they have such a diverse style and different ways of playing and everything that it was almost like we were a mixed alternative band anyway for just playing their stuff.
Yeah,
they're a really good band that way.
All right, here's Craig and Charlene doing a song that Pearl Jam covered called Last Kiss.
Daddy's gone.
I'm Charlene Beck from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Yeah.
At this point, were Craig and Maxime, were you guys around at this point? Or
they were just babies.
It was
just
actually 94, I think.
Okay.
When the album came out. Yeah, I think it was 94. So Jake would have been just born.
Yeah.
And Maxine was two.
Okay.
When that was going on. So then that mix, Pearl Jam thing, we had three different names for it. It started out called
Dissident,
and then we called it Vitology when the Vitology album came out to change it up a bit. Plus, the singer for the band worked for Waterloo Printing, and he was the graphics designer. So he could design our promo and make it look really good and then pay a buddy of his to run it, sort of thing, right? So we ended up with nice promo. So every time he wanted to do new promo or he wanted to change everything, so we changed the band name too. So it went from Dissident to Vitology and then No Code when No Code came out. And that was the last. It stayed No Code after that. We didn't change again. I think because we had also changed members of the band. So the bass player and the first guitar player changed to, so we went from to a different bass player with the same guitar player. And then we went to another bass player and another guitar player. So there was three inversions of the band. So the name kind of changed after each version of the band as well. I think that's why he wanted to do it actually, now that I think about it. So anyway, we did that for, it was a period of 18 years that we did it.
Okay.
But we did kind of stop somewhere for about a year because people got tired of playing Pearl Jam, which was kind of weird to me because we were in a Pearl Jam clone band. So, you know, what do you think you're going to play? Obviously, yeah. Pearl Jam, right? But some of the other guys were getting bored of it and decided they wanted to go off and do other projects and stuff. So they did. And we just kind of let it lay for about a year. And then after a year, John phoned me up again and said, Craig, what are you up to? You doing anything? You want to get it going again? So then we started the Pearl Jam thing back up again. But it was pretty fun. Like, it was only a part-time thing for us. Like, we weren't full-time musicians, which actually reminds me of, we actually had a guy come and see us. It was about a couple of months after we first got together. We had an agent come to see us to look at us, and we, you know, we played a bunch of stuff for him. We were a Pearl Jam tribute or clone act at the time, and we played a whole bunch of stuff, and he looked at us and talked to us. I don't remember what his name was. He was some one of the main booking agents from that books people up north. I can't remember what his name is anymore. Anyway, and he said to us right away, okay, we'll put you on the road right now. When do you want to start? And we just all kind of looked at each other because we're all married with kids. And going, well, we can't work full time. Like, we can't play full time, right? I honestly would have liked to have done it, but it just, you know.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense.
That ship had sailed already. It was bad timing, so there's no way I could have done it. So it could have went that way if things were different, I guess.
All right, we're going to switch gears a little bit and start talking about Jake and Maxine's songwriting. So the first one we're going to hear is one of Maxine's. It's called Her Name Was.
She wants to
All right, we're back. Thanks for listening to Musicians FAQ. I'm Steve Todd, and let's continue our interview.
So why don't we move into the kids here? Why don't we talk about, I know Jake plays several instruments. I know Maxine plays a bit of, I've seen you play ukulele.
She's got a couple of you. She wants to learn mandolin.
Yeah.
Not really. I actually want to learn violin, but I figured if I learned mandolin first, I'd learn the cording and stuff, because it's the same tuning, I believe.
It's the same, but not the same key.
Ah, Steve. Steve knows.
Well, it feels the same anyway.
It's the same.
Yeah. And I'm currently learning piano from my boyfriend's mom, because I want to learn the music theory first before I move into violin as well. Because I want to have a better grasp of, like, all of the aspects of music rather than just playing an instrument and learning songs.
That's cool. And I know Jake writes several tunes, too. You got, I've heard several of your songs.
I literally was just working on one. Earlier yesterday, technically last night. Yeah. You know what, with quarantine and everything, time sort of loses its all sort of meaning.
Yep.
But I started writing a song now. But I have about enough piled together to make three full albums.
Wow, that's a lot of tunes.
If you segregate it into groups of 10.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's not like a super, you got a million tracks on this album kind of album, but like it's, you know, it's something.
And were you doing this in like high school and everything too, or just was this all just recently? Or
oh, this is a funny story actually.
Okay.
I think it was right before Christmas. What, 2 years ago or 3 years?
I don't remember. When did I get my first mandolin?
Three years ago. Yeah. So 3 years ago, like a month before Christmas, I think. Couple of months before Christmas. Anyways, he picked up Dad's mandolin and decided, I'm just going to play this instrument. And then 3 months later, it's Christmas time. I'm like, well, I want to play an instrument if you're playing an instrument. Okay. So then I picked up the ukulele, and we both just decided we're playing instruments now.
That's
and
great for you guys.
So those parents out there listening that are trying to get their kids to learn how to play an instrument, it's no sense even telling them or asking them to do it. They'll make up their own mind to do it whenever they feel like doing it. That's just the way it is.
Yeah.
If you have a musician as a parent, and they're trying to teach you, they don't know how to teach you. Most of the times, they're not going to know how to teach you.
Yeah.
It's going to be infuriating. They're going to be like, come on, why can't you do this? It's just a simple walk. Anybody can do it.
Like, it's funny that you say that because John Ladd's interview, he said he couldn't learn piano from his mom either.
Oh, yeah.
Don't teach your kids how to play instruments.
They don't want to hear it from you.
Yeah.
Actually, I would say that tradition is true as well for me, because my dad did not teach me how to play. It was actually my mom that taught me more about that than my dad did. Mostly, I would say, probably because he was on the road so much with work. He was gone. And when he was home, he was only home for a few days, so he didn't really have that much time. So she actually talked to him and asked him about the chords and where they were and everything, and then transferred the knowledge to me.
Good. Okay, well, it paid off anyway. Then he came home and did Johnny Cash concerts.
Yeah.
All right, a little bit later in the program, you're going to hear some originals by Jake Beck. But right now, here's Jacob singing a song called Home. And it was originally written and sung by a band called The Passengers.
They say home is where the heart is. Thank you.
Well, in this program, we'll put on several of Jake's originals. And do you have any ones at all, Craig? Have you written anything ever? Or?
Oh yeah, I've got a few songs that I've written. I actually had a bunch that I wrote when I was younger, and I don't know why, but one day I was in my late teens and I didn't like it, and I just threw it in the campfire.
Okay.
But it was literally a book filled with lyrics and songs and stuff, and I just threw it in the campfire because I thought it was no good.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was a very foolish thing to do.
It's never too late to start again. So.
Well, I actually have a three or four that I have written, you know, in the past 10-ish years or so.
Yeah.
That I do. Maybe I should do one for you.
Yeah, for sure.
Like not now, but I could record one maybe and send it to you. Or?
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
Definitely my two favorite songs that my dad has made that he still plays is The Gig.
That's a good one.
And The Change. Those are my two favorite by far. And it's the ones that we actually do when we go out and perform.
Okay.
So, like, I'm really glad that's a thing. So, and The Change is actually recent. When did you do The Change? Like, when did you finish that?
That's probably only a couple of years ago. I don't remember exactly when. I just remember it was a Saturday morning. I woke up and I just kind of, I had been playing around with the chording and everything for that song. For, you know, a while, a month or so or whatever, just noodling around sort of thing. But I didn't have any lyrics. And I just woke up the one Saturday morning and lyrics just started coming out. And I just started writing them down as fast as I could. And I wrote the whole song in about an hour.
Yeah.
Is that how it works for you too, Jake?
Kind of. When it started, it was very heavy in the poetry end. And then I kind of made chords to it. But now I can make... like songs, the compose the songs faster than I can come up with the lyrics for it. So it's actually gone the opposite direction.
Oh. But, it's annoying.
Yeah.
He comes in and goes, I wrote a new song. And then he just plays guitar at me. And I'm like,
well, I think of it, Jake.
I have a couple of words. That's about it.
And now that you say that, Jake, and while I think of it, I have a book of a whole bunch of songs that your grandpa wrote with all the lyrics in it.
That he never recorded.
He never recorded.
Yeah. Well, that's cool.
That would actually be good to try to put them to actually record them then.
Yeah.
That'd be a lot of fun.
Like on the albums that he had, there's around 16, because I think there was 8 on the first album that I looked at, and I think the second one also has 8 that he wrote on it.
Yeah.
He probably recorded, say, maybe 20 of the songs that he wrote. But in that book, there's tons of songs in there. There's probably 100 of them in there.
That's awesome.
Well, that's just...
And I'm sure that he played them all when he was playing his shows and did his live radio shows. But
He didn't record them.
He just didn't record them with... I think it was Rodeo Records was the name of the label that he was with at the time.
Okay.
I have actually a bunch of old reel-to-reels that are like the original reels from when they recorded a whole bunch of this stuff in my basement. And I'm kind of leery about running it because the tape is so old, I'm scared it's going to bust the second that I start playing it.
Yep.
So I'm going to set up in the right humidity conditions and everything someday and get the digital recording started and just play it in case it's the first time it'll play and just get a copy of them recorded.
Oh, for sure.
So Craig just mentioned two of his originals, The Gig and The Change, and they were both actually played on part one of this program. So maybe just check back a few weeks ago if you want to hear those tunes. And but right now we're actually featuring more of Jake and Maxine. So we're going to hear one of Jake's originals, and it's called Mental Health.
You may be on the edge and you feel like falling. Just know you're only doing it for yourself. As if you live your life, you know it could get better. With a little work, you can get yourself there.
Just because the clouds are gray doesn't mean the sky ain't blue, doesn't mean the sun ain't shining through. Just because the clouds are gray doesn't mean the sky ain't blue, doesn't mean the sun ain't shining through. Just live your life, just live your life, just live your life, do what feels right and live your life. And you may think that you're better off now than at the end, and you may be right, but if you're not there, how will you ever know? You never really give out near a chance. Just because the clouds are gray doesn't mean the sky ain't blue, doesn't mean the sun ain't shining through. And just because the clouds are gray doesn't mean the sky ain't blue, doesn't mean the sun ain't shining through. Just live your life, just live your life, just live your life, do what feels right and live your life. Feels right, live your life. Just because the clouds are gray doesn't mean the sky ain't blue, doesn't mean the sun ain't shining through. Just because the clouds are gray doesn't mean the sky ain't blue, doesn't mean the sun ain't shining through.
Hi, I'm Tom Nunn from Kitchener, Ontario, and you're listening to 102.7 CKMS Radio Waterloo.ca.
Do you want to talk about any of your originals, Jake? Any meaning behind anything, or any ones that's come to mind at all? Or
I don't even know which ones you have.
Oh, long goodbyes.
Oh,
long goodbyes. That's a good story.
Long goodbyes was good. You weren't there for the Down East, were you?
No.
It was just me, mom, and dad. Yeah. So mom and dad and I were we were going down east to visit my dad's side, like the Becks down east, Nova Scotia.
It was two summers ago.
We went down. I was interested in getting a bazooki. Was I interested? Yeah, I was interested in getting a bazooki. I didn't have one yet. And this trip actually ended up getting a bazooki at a corner store that
the little Simone, yeah, was a little music store actually, in Campbellton.
It was a store called Burt's Music in Campbellton, New Brunswick, which is where my mother is actually from. We stopped by there to visit family, and I thought because he wanted a bazooki along the way. I mean, we're driving from Kitchener all the way to the East Coast. Just,
yeah, we're somebody's got to have one of these
somewhere along the way. So all the way along while we were driving, I was phoning ahead and phoning music stores and that, like main chain music stores, to find out if they had one. And most people are like, what's that? Like, they didn't even know what it was, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, oh my God, we're not going to find it. But I know that in the East Coast, especially Newfoundland, the bazooki is it's the Irish bazooki, and it's an Irish folk instrument, and there's lots of people playing bazooki there. So I thought for sure on the East Coast we'd find one. But anyway, as it turned out, in that music store, it was actually kind of funny because we thought for sure we weren't going to get one. So we went to Burt's Music, and I went in, and I saw it on the wall. I said, you got a bazooki? He said, yeah, he just got it in. I said, oh, awesome. Can I try it out? And Jake was still kind of late parking and getting out of the car, right? So when he came in, I was already sitting down playing the mizuki, and I said, "Hey, Jake, look what I got. How are you going to get yours?"
I couldn't.
So that's the one that he has.
Oh, that's great. Okay, yeah.
Like, I couldn't even believe it. It was like $800. Came with this really awesome gator case, like hard shell canvas case.
You haven't even touched the bazooki in months.
It's at their house, and we're in quarantine.
Oh.
Jeez, get off my back. So
I still have it.
Yeah, you still have my and the gator case.
So how did you come up with this long goodbye? Is like this is a song about this trip?
So back to that. So I had already been, this is a case where I sort of came up with the poetry beforehand, and I'm pretty sure I had a mandolin with me on this journey. So I just had my phone, and we were like, we had just left for this trip. We just started on this trip, and mom and dad, as per usual, can't get along when they're traveling anywhere. So, yeah, just getting into the car and everything, you know, they were bickering back and forth. And eventually mom said, "Come on, let's go. There's no time for long goodbyes." And that her saying that in that moment just inspired me to write this whole song.
Your time with all your friends. sooner or later, it's gonna have to end. The sun is setting on restless eyes. There's no time for long goodbye. There's no time for long goodbyes. There's no time for long goodbyes.
Well, long goodbyes, because it really made me think about like how the world is these days and how it's more about the destination and less about, you know, the journey and less about enjoying
the moment.
The moment.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Okay.
So I decided to make a song that was about that, kind of like how the lyrics of the song basically are like, there's no forward heading, eagle eyes. You got your eyes on the road. You're headed forward. You're thinking about the direction you're going in, but you have no time for reflection. You have no time to think about the way the world is and how you could improve upon your actions in the future. Instead, you're focused more on actually getting to your destination. Yeah, it took me like the whole trip to come up with all the lyrics and everything because I was learning Mizuki at the same time. But it was a good song. I really liked that one. That's pretty much summed up my entire trip. I think we also ended up on that trip. We ended up hanging out with Craig Matice at their cottage, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And the nature there really inspired me, like kept the inspiration going for the song, because just being surrounded by like nature just, I don't know, does something for me.
I think being on vacation also helps, because I wrote my first song when I was on vacation, and it's like you just got the time, and you're like, well, it's...
Yeah.
Wow. There's nothing else to do, and why not?
Yeah, having the free time to think is just...
Well, we'll have to have your song on there, too. Have you played your song? Like, have you guys recorded your tune, Maxine, at all, or...?
Well, I have
recording of hers yet.
Maxine's got a lot of songs now.
I've only written the three. It was the first one, the Lloyd song, the one you really liked.
It was the Lloyd song.
That's the first song I wrote.
Yeah, Maxine wrote this awesome, like, this really, like, really chill blues. That's the only way I can put it.
Won't tire from this kiss. Hold me close.
nothing else feels this right. Unaware, you're passionate, just so adorable. I don't know how to tell you my love is unequivocal. I feel so tender, not once I ever have I felt this way before. Wasted time with others, unaware you're inviting, totally delightful. I don't know how to tell you my love is unequivocal.
This is exciting because then, so we actually have, so Craig's dad with original songs, like you remember that, the one Kiss or whatever it was called, or Kiss Goodbye or something like that. And then
no
Craig's
more tears
written songs.
No more yeah, tears, yeah.
Sorry, here's my pillow, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
And then Craig's written songs, and then both you guys have written songs. So
oh,
it's
yeah.
pretty neat, all the different generations of songwriting.
And stuff. We all like different stuff too, it seems like.
Yeah.
In yeah, it's true.
The genres it's... that are our preferred music sound is all very unique to each of us as well.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I've seen that you guys as the Janglers at the Ridge playing together. Hopefully that'll happen again. I know that it'll be interesting with when everything starts to open up again for playing smaller venues and stuff. But hopefully we can all continue to play music and crazy
stuff. I
would have
to say after that trip down east and back, Jake and I were pretty solid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We played the whole time in the car on the way there
yeah,
and on the way
I
back.
I drove. I was the driver.
Pretty much every second that we could, we were playing an instrument and playing a song. Or
yeah.
Or
when we were down there, even.
That's all we did.
We didn't. I didn't listen to the radio at all.
My father's guitar with me, and I actually got all of the family that I knew that would be interested in playing my dad's guitar to take a
oh,
kick
yeah.
play and
oh,
sing
yeah.
a song on it as well.
Because wow.
okay. it still had the last set of strings that he played on it. So I figured that they might want
to,
you know, play on at least one song.
Here's a live recording sung by Maxine and a few of her friends. It was recorded at the Ridge in Roseville earlier this year before all the social isolation. And it's called When You Say Nothing at All. It's the old Keith Whitley classic.
Say it.
I noticed, especially like in Kitchener here during the Blues Festival, which I love. I spend every second that I can down there. Well, you know that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yep.
I noticed that they're all selling their albums there.
Yeah.
I bought a few of them from the Blues Festival over the last couple of years. And they must make money off of that. At least I would hope so, because they're selling them right there themselves.
Yeah. Just
which
the radio.
Would be a lot, but at least it's something, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because everything else, like the just online music, whether it's YouTube or Spotify or any other streaming service, I think most bands don't make hardly anything. So they have to pretty much be performing in front of people to make money.
Yeah.
They can make money off of the ticket sales, right?
Yeah.
And then from the ticket sales, depending on how big your act is, and the bigger it is, the more it costs for roadies and moving all your gear around and setting up the stage and all this stuff. I mean, it's a big industry, right?
Yeah.
Just the whole setting the stage up and the lighting systems and the PAs and all that stuff. It's like that's not cheap.
I've been asking most guys, like, do you have anything planned in the summer? Like, I know I had a whole bunch of stuff that's been canceled, and I still have kind of things in July and August, maybe, but did you have any?
The only thing that I had in the works was a Saturday at the Ridge.
Okay.
And that was all I had been working on right before it happened. Like, I kind of, just before the whole COVID thing happened, that was the thing that I was working on. Plus, I was hoping to get in a couple of other local places. There's, was it the Rabid Fox, I think, down there. I was working on them. There was three of them I was working on, but the Ridge was actually the only one that actually was probably in the works and going to happen.
Okay. Well, hopefully, anyway, at least it sounds like you're using the time wisely to write songs and you're still practicing and playing and everything like on your own. So that's what matters. And you, I know you guys did your, you had a watch party. right?
Maxine and Jake.
Oh, yeah, we did. Yeah, that was Facebook Live.
Good for you guys.
About a month ago.
Yeah, oh, that was fun.
Yeah, we learned that the laptop's not very good for that because the video didn't really go through, but the audio did, which is kind of the point.
Yeah, we do not have good, like, we don't have quick enough internet to do that live streaming from your laptop. Yeah.
Not from the laptop.
I don't know what the RAM is on this thing for that.
It might have worked better on the phone, but
okay, just try again. I find using my phone, the phone through like Rogers or Bell works really good.
Yeah.
I think the phones work better too than the laptops. That's been my experience. So
well,
far.
We're gonna have to try that next time, I guess. But the neighbor got real mad last time.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, started percussion.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Started adding percussion to their right now, right?
Neighbors. So this is great that we covered three generations, and there's you guys all play instruments. There's lots of songwriters in your family. Musical history with Out East and in Ontario, so but hopefully we can see you guys as the Janglers, or whether it's the whole family.
I kind of have my own like YouTube channel that I'm trying to get up and going, where it's just me. Like I've been learning the cajon, and I've got a bass guitar, an electric, and an acoustic, and basically I'm just becoming like my own one man band. I'm just gonna just record at myself in parts and just and do my songs just like as a one man band kind of thing. Jacob Lightheart is the name of that channel. But yeah, I plan on doing more of that. I do have a mandolin as well, so
you have the time,
and I have the time, so yeah. Might as well, right?
Yeah. But once this is done, there's going to be so many albums that come out because all these bands writing stuff. Yeah, yeah.
I've seen, I don't know how many different versions. Like, I named my thing the COVID-19 Sessions.
Yeah.
And I've seen tons of other YouTube channels, and it's all COVID-19 this and that, COVID-19 whatever. Yeah, there's going to be the COVID-19 Sessions is going to put out lots of albums and music and stuff for sure.
I wouldn't be surprised if there's going to be a band called COVID-19 by the end of this.
And some celebrity will probably name their little boy COVID. That's what I think.
Oh God, no.
Anyway, I'll just end it there. So thanks a lot for doing the interview. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having us. It was different. Never did it before.
No, it's good.
I think that it's going to be great because when I give you my stuff, I'm going to be playing it on my dad's guitar.
Oh, awesome.
Which was also on the radio in Waterloo in the 50s.
Wow, okay.
We'll be on the radio again in Waterloo.
That's amazing. Okay.
All right, that concludes part two of the Bex interview. And try to check out the Bex, whether it's the Janglers playing at the Ridge in Roseville or possibly Jake or Maxine solo. We're just going to end off with the Janglers recorded live at the Ridge. They're doing the John Fogerty classic, Old Man Down the Road. Until next time, it's Steve Todd. My co-host is Paul Schultz. Thanks a lot for listening in to Musicians FAQ.
Take the thunder from the mountain. You take a lightning from the sky. You bring a grown man to his bed. put a shadow across the window. When the old man comes around, you gotta hide, hide. You gotta jump and run.